Welcome to Spirited Straight Talk, the podcast to help you thrive with the help of spirit. I'm Deb Shepherd, psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and author. Each week, I bring new insights to help you heal from loss, connect with spirit, and turn setbacks into triumphs. So let's get started. Are you one of those people like me that feels really frustrated when people don't have empathy? It seems like they cannot hear you. It's a little frustrating, isn't it? Well, welcome to Spirited Straight Talk. I am Deb Shepherd, and I am here with my beautiful wife, Dana. And we're going to talk about empathy. And there's a lot of different aspects of this. And this has been in my face quite a bit lately. I've been talking to you about this, where
yes.
I've been kind of having some, some conversations.
Empathy conflict.
Where when you're trying to explain your point of view of something and the person is already hijacking, trying to turn it around to make you feel like you're the person that's causing them suffering or pain, and they can't kind of open up the idea of what you're feeling.
Sounds like an empathy miss to me.
Yes, absolutely. And what came to mind, I was reading this article. You know, I like to read the news. And it was an article about taking empathy out of so many areas of our world, our country. Yeah. One was in religion. One is in politics.
Tell the story.
I will. And then the third was taking it out of the school systems, not teaching kids about empathy. Okay. And I just sort of had a moment of pause.
Yeah, because I didn't hear about the empathy out of religion one.
Yeah, so there was this article that I was reading, and it was how the evangelistic Christians and the political arena are working on together to basically take out anything that has to do with empathy or compassion for others that are suffering. So, of course, it got my attention.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? I mean, the whole thing about being in a religious area or in politics is all being of service with people that are struggling or suffering. Right. So to take that element out completely
was shocking.
Yeah, I'm almost without words. Gotcha. And then I had a conversation with a client that was in the school system, and she was a counselor between, you know, kindergarten to eighth, and she said, yes, for the last few years, they're trying to take out any of these emotions like empathy out of the vocabularies with these kids.
Why?
It's an emotion that, in my opinion, I mean, can go in so many different directions. But if we don't have empathy or compassion.
I bet Brené Brown is rolling around right now screaming.
But I started looking at me, empathy and compassion is my business. I have people that are coming with grief. They are talking to me about the loss of something, their health issues, a divorce, an ending of a relationship, a death of a loved one. Just every factor of loss comes into our business, our company. And we are there to help create a place of safety, which means we have empathy and we try to understand that person's point of view. We may not understand their grief or where they are, but we have empathy in order
for
to
their
help
suffering.
Them. And I think that there's a positive way to have empathy and a negative way as well. So, you know, maybe that's a piece of it that I was missing with these other articles. But why would we take that out?
What is negative about having empathy for someone?
The way it was being shared was that people need to be more, and I was laughing about this, need to be more responsible and accountable for their lives.
Accountability,
which is a topic too. But what it means is, well, I've made better choices than you.
Ooh, that's grates on my nerve.
Yeah, that's the chalkboard.
We've heard that before. Yeah.
So they're saying, well, I've made better choices. I've taken care of myself. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have empathy for your suffering. And not everyone chooses to suffer. I mean, I think there are people that cause chaos in their life or make, you know, continuous poor choices or stay in situations that are not healthy. But
because maybe they don't have
the tools,
the resources, they haven't been taught how to get out of these situations.
Well, we talked about this before. It wasn't until 1987, I think it is, that women were allowed to have a credit. Maybe it was 78. I think it was 78. But anyway, yeah. We were not allowed to have a credit card or a bank account in our own name. So if we look at generational situations, it's sometimes passed down that we don't feel as women, yeah. as a group of individuals, right. that we're taught that we can leave a relationship that's, you know, abusive or not healthy.
Right.
So how do we shift that consciousness? Well, we have to educate, give them tools, create a space for them. And if we're not doing that, then it's completely a division between mm-hmm. people that feel like they're making good decisions.
Right. Not.
What I have seen are people that have no empathy. They cause chaos
mm-hmm. on purpose.
And they also, there's a hierarchy kind of going on. And then the other piece of it, I know the other piece of it is too, I always think, when is it going to happen to them? And I don't wish that, but what is their response when it does happen?
Gotcha. Yeah.
And, but there's so many layers to this, that,
you know, right. And I'm thinking about that. So what you're saying is somebody's not showing up with empathy. They create chaos because it's a dopamine hit to well, their,
I think
like
a dopamine. And it's also watching another person. There's power there, right? I'm not going to have empathy for you, but I'm watching this and seeing what you need. So think about someone that's in a relationship, a husband and wife, mm-hmm. and or any other partnership, I mean, like ours, right? If the other person is never listening to you and you're frustrated that person isn't listening to you, that means they don't have any empathy. They don't want to have to change. So they keep pushing you back. So you have to adapt to fit in to make a relationship work because that person has no empathy.
Hmm. I have to settle with that one for a second.
Okay.
And I have some stuff that I had
you looked up, right?
Looked up about empathy, yeah, because I'm kind of wondering what that falls into.
Well, if someone
on a
told
spiritual
me,
or on a like a
for me, for someone to say that I could not anymore have any empathy for somebody, that would not be possible. I mean, a part of my work is I feel people's suffering. I feel their pain, so I'm able to identify and help them. Mm-hmm. But for someone to say you can't have that anymore, how does that even begin? But I think there's also having empathy for yourself. So while you look that up, so many times we don't give ourselves empathy. Mm-hmm. If we make a mistake over and over, I've heard people say, I should have known, I should have gotten out of that relationship earlier. I should have quit the job early. I mean, my son even, he saw the writing on the wall about his job. He goes, it's not a good place anymore. I need to leave. 4 months later, still had not looked. And then the company closed. Mm-hmm. Can we have empathy when we don't follow our intuition? And do we give ourselves grace when we make a mistake? Or if we hurt another person's feelings, if I cause you suffering, if I cause right. you discomfort and pain, can I have empathy for myself to learn from that? Give myself the ability to have empathy and grace to be able to heal, to not continue that mistake. I think if you don't have empathy, you'll continue doing the same thing to people and causing suffering.
Hmm. So I'm thinking about one person in particular. Does that person that you, I think we're thinking about the same situation.
I'm thinking of several. Can't.
Are you?
Yeah. Okay.
So we have a lot of people yeah. that may not have empathy, but it's hard to recognize sometimes when somebody who creates chaos doesn't have empathy because you feel like you're helping them solve their stuff because they keep bringing it to you.
The chaos.
And they keep bringing you chaos. And so you, somebody who might have empathy, keeps helping them work through their stuff. But also, that's a way to avoid for ourselves, and we've talked about this before, it's a way for our, like, for me to avoid doing my own work is getting wrapped into their chaos.
Yeah. And I think the person that has chaos, like you said, the dopamine, I think there's a piece of that. It's also giving you a feeling that you have somewhat control, and it makes them feel more empowered if they are not having any empathy because there's no feeling of, oh, I'm so sorry that I've hurt you. It's mm-hmm. more about, And now I know who you're thinking of. Love being psychic.
Like, they just took me a minute. Yeah.
All right, took me a minute. Okay, let's take it this way. The people that pretend that they have empathy.
Okay.
And I think that there's
so
a
how do we identify the pretenders? What's the word that your student uses? Not pretenders.
Imposters.
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 How do we identify the empathy imposters?
Well, I think for you and I, we knew we had to learn sort of a lesson,
right,
with someone that was the imposter with empathy. And I think part of us want to believe that they really do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like selling some, like, you know, we buy things thinking, oh, this is going to work.
Right.
You know, if I use this, and you know, I'm one of those individuals, you're always trying to tell me not to, like, maybe if I do this, I can lose weight.
Can you stop buying stuff off of Facebook?
Okay, Deb, this is an AI and it's not real. I'm like, okay, so, you know, I'm one of those gullible people. Sure, this will work.
But I have empathy for you.
You have empathy for me. So I think there's a piece of us as humans that see someone that can really show up and make you feel drawn in, pulled in.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about the same thing. Like, if you are a person that's dated someone or been in a relationship where that person had no empathy, you can call them, you know, that they gaslight, or they're, you know, whatever it is that they really have, you struggle with them because you keep communicating to them and you feel like you keep hitting the wall and you don't want to attract that again.
Right.
So I thought about this and I kind of shared it earlier, is they're really kind. You're dating this person, this new person, and they are just showing up beautifully. And you're like, wow. Is this really the deal? Well, how do they treat the server? And our friend Dawn has said this. She goes, it really is an indicator. How they treat someone at the grocery store, how they, you know, treat somebody that is of service for you. So customer service and, you know, how do you treat that individual? If you can't have empathy for your server that is saying to you, hey, we're overloaded, we're shorthanded, you know, are you not having compassion or empathy? How are you communicating? That is the red flags for you to hit the road, Jack, basically. Get on.
So let's say somebody has maybe no empathy.
Maybe has none.
And they get together with somebody who is even worse and possibly gaslights or things like that. Do you think that they feed off of each other then to create more chaos?
Yeah. And this is the thought. People that are highly intuitive, and we'll go down this path in a second, people that are psychic feel a lot.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that, what we call a mirror neuron, where empathy is regulated, right? You have a neuron in your brain that is allows you to have empathy. Well, if you don't have empathy, you don't feel
what others go through,
or even empathy can even be your own, you know, feeling of sadness for yourself, then you're going to attract somebody that is chaotic, because guess what? You get to feel
more chaos,
but it's feeling.
Yeah.
You feel alive.
That's true.
You're feeling, you think on some level that chaos is empathy. Mm. You're translating that to, oh, there's all this chaos. There's all this suffering. There's all this pain. It's at a high level of steroid, right? It's up
because
here.
Your brain is giving you that reward. Yes. That makes perfect sense.
And so you're saying you have empathy for their suffering, but really it's just the chaos
that
makes
you attracted to,
that you think that there's a feeling, so that you attach it, like, this must be what it feels like.
Because it makes you feel alive.
Alive.
Wow.
I mean, if we think,
I don't know. I think my mind might have just been blown away.
If we think about chaos, we've had chaos in our life off and on. Yeah. I don't like chaos.
Oh, me either.
So for
I want joy from really cool stuff, not chaos.
We work really hard to create a calmness and a peacefulness in our environment as much as possible. And the reason why is because we have to get out of our left brain to be in our right brain.
Right.
So in my opinion, the right brain would carry probably the empathy, right? Feeling the compassion, the grace, those things.
Empathy is not logical.
Correct. Yeah. And maybe that's what people are saying. It's not logical. So anyone that's in education, so that's probably the ticket there.
Yeah.
When you go to your left brain, the left brain wants control and wants fear. Well, if you have empathy, that means you have to care and maybe make a different choice.
And that makes you not accountable.
So no accountability. Yes. I can't feel your suffering. Mm-hmm. So it's not enough chaos for me to truly see beyond. You're seeming to be handling it just fine.
Yeah.
So I can't feel.
So I have to search for chaos so I can feel. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So when I was doing this research, because it blew my mind even thinking that we're teaching not to have empathy. I cannot comprehend this.
Right.
If we look at history in the world, the reason why we understand history is so that we will have empathy to not continue doing the things of our past that have been terrible.
Right.
That we've caused, you know, wars and all those kind of things. There are actually workshops and ways to create empathy.
Yeah, for people who don't have it.
This could be childhood. If you were raised as a kid and no one showed emotion, mm-hmm. or they were an alcoholic, or you were beaten a lot, or some of the things that you've been through as a child.
Right. You shut down emotion to protect yourself.
So if you build those walls, and you've been talking about how you've been really working on, let's take down those walls.
Yeah.
How do we take down those walls?
Right.
And so if you think about how do we then rewire our brain, which is what we talk about in our solution
program,
is how to rewire that you can have empathy. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing is, how do you start with yourself?
Yeah.
The other interesting thing about empathy that we see often is when someone has had a loss of a loved one, and people will give you empathy for this long. And you may be 2 to 3 to 5 years into your grief of a lost loved one, and it could be any person in your life, even an animal, and they'll say, aren't you over it yet? Aren't you done? Haven't you been dealing with this? And so there's another place when it comes to grief that people feel that you should be over it because it's been a year, mm-hmm. it's been 18 months. They actually time it. And so if we can't have empathy that it takes someone maybe the rest of their life not to get over it, but to be in a different place.
Right.
How do we become in a different place with our grief?
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you talk about that, I know you went through this, that people expected you to come to a Tupperware party a month after
your late husband had died.
So expected you to put up Christmas decorations 2 weeks after,
He dies, and it was tragic. It was a suicide, and people expect me just to say, well, I thought it would be a good distraction if you came to the Tupperware party. And I'm just like,
what?
And you can't respond. It's really hard. You have no words to respond to those things. And so it's having empathy at that time for yourself by saying, no.
which brings me to, you know, we talk about this a lot too, is holding space, like truly holding space for somebody.
Explain what that
for
means.
Where they are.
I haven't heard that term.
Holding space is basically allowing someone to go through their process no matter what it is, in simple terms. So
without fixing it.
Without trying to fix it, without trying to hijack it. And this goes back to empathy. You mentioned hijacking. You know, we do comparisons. Somebody shares something with us and we feel like we have to come back with, this is my story about this topic versus listening.
Listen to understand.
Listening to understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, listening to understand versus listening to respond. But that all goes back to empathy.
Right.
And we are not taught this because people in our society parents don't teach it.
No.
Because they don't know it, because they weren't taught. So how do we fix these issues in our society? All of the fighting right now between political parties, between governments, between people on the same street that can't get along because they have different belief systems, there is a lack of empathy. There's a lack of understanding for each other.
And I think empathy, if you think about really what empathy is, it's what you said, holding space. It's truly listening to someone else's story.
To understand it, though.
Yes. And I think what happens is that a lot of people that are considered healers or empathics, empaths, want to fix it.
Yeah.
Versus.
Which is another lack of empathy.
Yeah. It's another lack. So like, let me, and then that makes it about you. Let me fix you.
So I feel better.
So I feel better. Yeah. And I think if we, as a whole, learn to be, we don't know someone else's story. When someone is, let's say you're at a restaurant and someone is serving you and they're doing their best that they can. We do not know what their day was like, their week was like, their year was like. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're just struggling to be there that day. Mm-hmm. We don't know what they're going to go home to. Mm-hmm. And so if they forget your side of salad dressing,
applesauce,
whatever they forget.
Yeah.
Is can we find compassion? Because we think, well, it's a very simple request. This is what you're going to do. And I'm going to be paying you a tip.
But that also goes back to judgment.
It does.
Because so many people sit in judgment. And so we're judging that server as they're serving us, which makes us react that way. Mm-hmm. And it's sad.
I think the other thing is that if I want to go on the other extreme side of empathy, is people that don't want to heal and only want empathy. Mm. And that's another piece that we can see sometimes that their story is told over and over and over and over again. To get the empathy so that they can get validated for their story. Mm-hmm. And you know, in my program, you don't get to do that for very long because we want you to rewrite your story.
Yeah.
And I think there's a difference between having empathy for someone going through things. And even if they're going through something still and it's 10 years down the road, they may have pieces of that pain, that loss, whatever it is that they're continuing trying to heal those pieces. Because it does take a long time to heal. It might take lifetimes in our opinion, right? But then we have the other person that we, and I've done this, I've had to look at this, that I stop having empathy for someone that doesn't want to heal. Mm-hmm. That wants to tell their story and they want to blame. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've talked about the whole idea of accountability. Mm-hmm. How do we then help someone take accountability versus just using empathy as their only resource for healing? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And it's interesting because you brought up blame. So we blame so we can avoid shame. Mm-hmm. And that's not having empathy for ourselves.
Right.
So it's just interesting how it's all so connected.
Right. The shame and guilt thing too. When we've dived into that, we haven't did that in the podcast yet, but in classes, shame and guilt can be one that affects every aspect of our emotion. Mm-hmm. So when there's times when we're sad and we feel like this is the other piece of it, people are in shame and guilt that they don't want to have empathy. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't have pity for me. So they don't tell their story because they don't want someone, because there's a way to show empathy without showing.
So say that again, because that used to be me. I would not share my story because I didn't want anyone to judge me.
Judge me.
Based on my past.
And have pity. Have pity.
Oh, that made me sick to think of somebody pitying me.
Yeah. So how do we express empathy without making someone feel shameful or guilt? Or make them feel, you know, well, I'm so proud of you, you know, that looking down on somebody, right? So there's another part of the individual that doesn't want any empathy, so they won't share and won't be vulnerable because of how people approach it. Mm-hmm. They may say, because if in your family, if you were raised to be competitive, to be independent, to be powerful, not empowered, but powerful, not to be weak. Not to be all
not
those
to be
things,
vulnerable.
Not to be vulnerable. That means you're not going to show empathy to others, nor are you going to ask for it when you're going through a hard time, because there's a perception that if someone has empathy for you, oh, poor you. Mm-hmm. So empathy has so many different complex layers to it, which I think is really beautiful because you get to dig into it. It's right. Just not one thing that, hey, you don't have empathy. It's
compounded.
Multiple levels of things. Yeah. And to me, there's a sense of creating empathy for somebody, but also saying, but that's not your story. It is a story. Yeah. How do you rewrite it so that you do feel empowered, but to still have empathy for yourself for that story?
Mm-hmm. And you got to take the power out of the story.
Correct.
And it is a choice.
It is a choice.
It's really it starts with awareness. Mm-hmm. We say all things actually start with awareness. It's being aware that's what you're doing. And I think that's probably where it started for me, you know, shifting that because.
Well, I sort of pushed you to tell your story.
You did.
But you kept saying, how is it going to help anybody? I said, because people have shame around their story. Mm-hmm. And when we have shame around our story, then it's because no one has empathy in the right way.
But, and this just having, you know, I can share my story, but I'm not going to wear my story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the difference is like, if you can share it, which I think sharing it allows you to understand, for me, allowed me to understand that it can help people to know that you can get through these things and you can heal.
Right.
But I'm not going to wear that.
No.
And I'm not going to, you know,
carry it with you.
Carry it. Yeah. I'm not an empathy. What is it? We should
wanting empathy all the time.
Monster. What should we call it?
Well, it's a person that just they feed off of the empathy, right? You feel sorry for me and we get, you know, people want to rescue them. The other piece is, can you have empathy for someone that has hurt you?
No, that's tough, right?
Right. And in our program, we don't teach the typical forgiveness, right? So let's say someone has really hurt you. They've dismissed you. They've had an affair. They cheated financially. They didn't tell you the truth, whatever
it
is.
They locked you in a basement.
They lied to you. Yeah. So abandoned you, then came, you know, came back and they're wanting to connect again. Mm-hmm. So how do you have empathy for someone that caused you suffering? And we've talked about this
a lot of times in our
classes and stuff. Can you have empathy for the person that was not perfect or caused you suffering?
Or was your perpetrator?
Your perpetrator. Mm-hmm. And the empathy can be sometimes, you know, what is that relationship and why were you the target? And I think empathy doesn't mean that you forgive. And I think that's really, I really want to make that clear, because sometimes it can be that, well, I got to forgive them because that's empathy. No, empathy.
That causes guilt and shame
absolutely.
When you can't.
So the other part of it is, can you have empathy by getting more clarity, getting the awareness, understanding what was really the intention of that suffering that they caused? And I know for me, when I cause unintentional suffering and I finally figure it out, I'm like, shoot.
Yeah.
You know, that was not my intention. And so how do I approach a person with my empathy to see what I've done to them, mm-hmm. and to not ask for empathy, but also say, can you see, you know, that I wasn't intentionally doing this, but what if someone is intentionally hurting you? That's hard to have empathy for somebody. But what I do believe is someone that causes suffering normally is suffering themselves, unless there is really a mental diagnosis that they are a sociopath or a high narcissistic individual that is unable to have empathy.
Right.
And I think that we can overuse those kind of terminologies.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think there are a lot of people that are in that category and we're expecting them to see it,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't going to be capable of it. And I think that's hard for a lot of us to digest.
Like, for sure.
But can you still have empathy that they are limited?
Yeah.
They're limited in their capabilities.
What I'm finding is we can.
Yeah.
Like, but I think we're also choosing to see that piece of it. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of shifting within our belief system. We've had a lot of shifting around people who cause suffering. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that we know that they are suffering tremendously themselves for the most part, most of them.
Right. I think the thing I want to remind everybody, if you weren't taught empathy, start doing a little research. What does that mean for you? What does it look like? If you're around children, which we are, we're around a lot of grandchildren, mm-hmm. is you've worked really well in helping them develop and understand their emotions. So we don't say, knock that off or stop acting that way or stop having a tantrum.
Yeah, we don't guilt them.
We don't guilt them.
Yeah.
Well, I do, but you don't. But that's another thing. I'm working on it. It's my learning curve.
About, really, you don't want to give me chips?
I think the other piece of it is to really teach them that all of their emotions they have are okay, but how to manage it, what does it mean, right? Yeah. And if we can help these kids, it will also help us have empathy and figure that out.
Right.
But we want people to see that maybe we're trying to do the best that we can, and that day is not the best of us. I mean, maybe we show up and we're like, God, we're struggling. Can someone give us empathy and compassion? And the more that we do it for others, I think it's the law of attraction that probably most of our audience is, you know, what we put out there, the ripple effect, the more we give, we're going to see in return. But bring that topic up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Be aware of it, especially with our society being so much in social media. People are very comfortable behind their electronics to not have empathy. I've lost relationships because I had an opinion different from others, and relationships were cut off because of not understanding someone else's point of view.
Right.
And empathy is just, you don't have to agree. It's not about forgiving. It's about understanding that someone is suffering whatever their world looks like.
Right.
Not your world or the world that you think they should be, or that, you know, you should be doing this. No. Can we show up and think, what can I learn from this? What can I learn from this? Great topic. I know there's more to come on this, but we really appreciate you joining us today on Spirited Straight Talk. And I'm going to encourage everyone, since this is on YouTube, to go to Dana's and my Morning High show, where you're going to see me eating a lot of donuts and trying to lose weight at the same time. But anyway, with that said, thank you once again for joining us on Spirited Straight Talk.